3, I would like to turn your attention to today, 1 Corinthians chapter 3, reading verses 9, 10, and 11. Eventually getting to the topic, the foundation. Everybody say foundation. Thank the Lord. We are laborers together with God. You are God's husbandry. You are God's building. According to the grace of God, which is given unto me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another buildeth thereon. But let every man take heed how he buildeth thereupon, for other foundation. There is no other, is there? No other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Thank God for that foundation. A lot of foundations that are faulty today, a lot of foundations that are failing today, but not Jesus Christ. Amen. You can be seated. God bless you. The importance of a foundation is known to builders, contractors, whoever has charge of the construction. A great deal of time is spent on the foundation. We have the project going now next door to us at the Three Bears store being erected here in Sterling. And I felt sorry for them in December and January and February. They had their tent structure up, and they were obviously working on the foundation. Now, in October or November, when they were smoothing out the fill, we had a 4.5 earthquake about every 10 seconds because their compactor was going back and forth over the gravel and shaking our house. I mean, literally shaking our house. And it seemed kind of shame for them to compact that all down so good and then dig it up again for the foundation. But for about 2 months now, they've worked on that foundation. The wind came. You remember the strong wind that we had and blew their tent down, but the tent went right back up again, and their blowers for heat were keeping that thing inflated, and the cement trucks were arriving on schedule, and they got that foundation done. Interesting that it took them about 2 months to get that foundation done, which is actually pretty quick, but only about 2 weeks to have that building up. Just quick. Amazing how fast they're able to bring about that construction. But the point is, the foundation took a lot longer. Thank God for a solid foundation in Jesus Christ. Amen. Hallelujah. That we can build upon. I don't know if you've seen the Gateway Arch in St. Louis. You probably have seen pictures of it, and maybe have read stories about it. The reason I know a little bit about it, it was in a Sunday school lesson one time, so I thought, that's interesting. 630 feet high, and it will only sway 18 inches in an 150-mile-an-hour wind. Now think about that. Who was up there in 150-mile-an-hour wind with his tape measure stretched out and said, yep, 16, 17, 18, that's it. That's as far as it'll go. Now, those engineers, they had it figured out, and they went down many, many, many feet, 630 feet high, many feet deep, 60 feet, in fact, below the surface, 30 feet into bedrock, not just on top of bedrock, but into the bedrock. 5,119 tons of steel, 6,238 cubic yards of concrete. That's quite a structure. Very much so a project that they could be proud of. And it could not be off even 1/64th of an inch in the foundation, because 630 feet above, that mistake would be magnified. Can you imagine the arch coming up? And
years.
No, it had to be right on. The foundation was so important. And I'm thankful that Paul lets us know there's no other foundation that we need to build on. No other foundation that you need to go and find, because that which you built your faith on is faulty. It's going to fail. It's not going to last. Oh, no. No other foundation can any man lay than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Thank God that we know his foundation is strong. Amen. Paul had built his foundation upon the law, but there came the moment that he was face to face with the one that he was going to recognize is the sure foundation, the only foundation, and he was quick to make the transition to that which he knew was eternal. There's many foundations that man is trying today. Foundations of education, foundations of programs, and so on. There was an ideal that was pursued at one time, a sound mind in a sound body. Now, that's okay if it all depends on you. If it only, you know, we have the saying, if it is to be, it is up to me. But not so in salvation. You can't save yourself. You can't bring about deliverance yourself. You can't make the changes that only God can make in your life yourself. Amen. There are times that there are those who would boast, like the Russian cosmonauts. We've been out in space and we didn't see God. Or the engineers who made the Titanic. Old examples, I know. But no matter how new the technology, no matter how new the invention, it still would fall short. And there are times that I would almost like to ask those who have stood upon their own abilities, their own ingenuity, their own knowledge, their own talents, and recognize there's no cure for cancer. There's no situation that's going to mend a broken heart. There are marriages that are failing today, and there are times that I would almost want to ask, how did that work out for you to try it on your own? How did that come about? How did you find the answers when there are no answers? I'm thankful that I can look to Jesus Christ and call upon him and know his power to minister in our lives. Hallelujah. What a great and mighty God. Isaiah 28 and 16 declares, the Lord laid a foundation, a stone, a tried stone, a precious cornerstone. Notice the emphasis upon stone. It's not cardboard. It's not foam. It's not sand, but it's stone. Praise God. It's solid, a sure foundation. And he that believeth shall not make haste. That's an old rendering of the verse. And a modern translation would say, the one who trusts will never be dismayed. Thank God that we can put our trust in that sure foundation and know the power of God to be there to minister to us. Peter emphasized what Isaiah said and how it was sure. And he declared that we can go nowhere else, Lord. And you, Lord, are the one who has the words of eternal life. And he emphatically stated it. He nailed it down. We believe and are sure that thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And thank the Lord that God would pronounce a blessing upon that revelation that Peter would have. And Peter would declare it later on as well in his letter. 2 Peter 1 and 19, he would write, we have also a more sure word of prophecy, wherein you do well that you take heed as unto a light that shineth in a dark place. Oh, thank God that the Lord knows how to light up a dark place. The Lord knows how to illuminate depression. The Lord knows how to eliminate despair. The Lord knows how to lift you up and bring deliverance into your your situation until the day dawn, until the day star arrives in your heart. Oh, thank God the Lord knows how to bring his power into your situations. He knows how to bring strength and blessing into your needs. I'm thankful that I can rely upon a God who knows my name. He knows my situation. He knows my need, and he has my answer. Thank God that I've proven him again and again and again, and he's never failed. Never failed. Praise God. Oh, I'm thankful we can be sure. Hallelujah. Luke 1:1. The writer declared, "For as much as many have taken in hand to set forth in order a declaration of those things which are most surely believed among us." In verse 4, he emphasizes it again, "that thou mightest know the certainty of those things wherein thou hast been instructed." How could he write with such surety? How can he have such certainty? Because he talked to the apostles who walked with and talked with the Lord. Because he talked to the apostles who were eyewitnesses for over 3 years of the miracles and the power and the healing and the resurrection of the Lord that he did among those who were responsive to him. Oh, I'm thankful we know a healer. I'm thankful we know a helper. I'm thankful we know a miracle worker. I'm thankful we know a master. I'm thankful we know a teacher of truth, and he is the truth himself personified. And we enter into a relationship, not just a religion, but knowing the power of the Lord and the blessings that he would bring forth in our lives, and we can build upon him. Now, the Bible says, take heed. Take heed how you build. Every builder here knows you have to take heed. It's not just something willy-nilly that you step out into and decide, well, let's do this, let's do that. I worked with a carpenter one time who was very quick. Oh, my. He could put up walls. He could make sure there was doorways. He could make sure there was windows. But that afternoon, he was taking it all down because he did it wrong. No, you don't just march off and do it any old way. Oh, no, take heed how you build. Amen. Thank God that there's an experience that every one of us could have. And the Bible lets us know there are building materials that you are to choose. Very quickly, the scripture lets us know there can be wood, hay, and stubble that it would be used as building materials, or there can be gold, silver, and precious stones. Now, it would seem as though gold, silver, and precious stones would just be garnishing. It'd just be touching things up, just be dressing things up, making it look real nice. But the scripture is letting us know you go with things that are eternal. You go with things that are going to last. You don't spend time with things that are just going to fail. No, you build with what is going to last, because fire is going to try every man's work. You will receive a reward. There will be salvation, thank God, but suffer loss if it burns. God, help us to always make the right choices. Always build with that which is eternal, not forsaking the things that are eternal for the things that are temporal and easily grab a hold of or tangible today, but recognizing our faith holds on to what we see and what we hope for. And thank God it is going to come to pass. Now we talk about building on a rock compared to building on sand. And we know the real lesson of Matthew 7, the real instruction that the Lord wanted to impart in that situation is obedience, hearing, and obeying. He said, the person who hears and builds based upon what he has heard in the instructions in the word of the Lord is like an individual who builds his house upon the rock. The wise man who built upon the rock. The rain, the floods, the wind came, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. Then the Lord switched the situation. He flipped the script. He said, those who hear and they don't do what I've said is like a foolish man who built his house upon the sand. Here comes the rain. Here comes the floods. Here comes the wind. The same circumstances that happened to every individual. And the house fell, and great was the fall of it. Oh, God, help us. Always recognize my obedience is what the Lord is seeking. My obedience is what God desires. Amen. To follow after him and do the work that he desires to do. For there are many, many building projects. I'm sure most of you in Seattle have noticed the Space Needle sticking up over 600 feet tall. Actually, it's coming up on the 60-year anniversary of that Space Needle. A hole 30 feet deep and 120 feet across. That's a pretty extensive hole. That was the foundation for the Space Needle. It's reported that 467 cement trucks delivered concrete all day long to fill that hole, 30 feet deep, 120 feet across. The foundation actually weighed more than the structure. That steel structure revolving at the top, a $60 stake that you could buy if you want to get up there and get dizzy. Actually, no, it's not spinning that fast. But the center of gravity only 5 feet above ground. Because the foundation, again, is the most important. I remember being up there and looking out on the great city of Seattle, and the most important message that I saw was painted on a rooftop down below. Jesus is coming. Amen. Amen. Oh, I'm thankful we can build on the Lord. I'm thankful there are altars that we can build in our lives that will alter our lives, that will change us so that we can be more like him, that we can do a work for the Lord. Noah and the ark that he built prior to the flood was an amazing, amazing construction project. Moses and the tabernacle, and then the temple that Solomon built. All of these construction projects are just amazing and incredible. God, help us to continue to build and take heed how we build, because the thing that is built has to remain. Now, we had a shock and a shaker yesterday, and those things, I believe, are going to increase, because the Word of God says that the Lord is going to shake things, that the things that cannot be shaken will remain. We know there's a reference to the Old Testament, the Mount Sinai, the lightning and all of the manifestation there when that old covenant was given. Thank God that's going to pass away, and we're stepping into the new covenant, the new Jerusalem, the heavenly Jerusalem, an innumerable company of angels. Praise God. Oh, hallelujah. God has enough and more to spare to minister to your situations. God has enough angels and to spare to bring protection and protection over all of your situations and your needs. Thank God that we can put our trust in the one who is able to do that work, and we are brought into Mount Zion, not David's stronghold, not the place where he would establish himself, but the kingdom of God. Thank the Lord, a kingdom that the Bible says cannot be moved. And we serve God acceptably with fear and reverence. Oh, I'm thankful there's a foundation that we rest upon. It's not a political party. We've already had Republicans. We've already had Democrats. And the answers have not come. And let me tell you, we may not make it to 2024 before the Lord brings forth his plan and his program You've got to be built upon the foundation. You can't be waiting for something else. You can't be looking for something else. Thank God that we can put our trust upon the foundation that is not going to fail. It's not going to falter. It's not going to fall. Hallelujah. We can stand. We can build. We can rest upon the foundation that is sure, Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Now, Psalm 11 and 3 asks an important question. If the foundation be destroyed, what can the righteous do? I still think about the fact that one of the speakers at the retreat mentioned 344,000 churches in America and 300,000 of them in decline or closing. That's already happened in Sitka. The college that I graduated from closed. The professors began to leave because of lack of employment. The Presbyterian Church, fewer and fewer members, until finally that building was for sale. And Brother Miller sent me some information, and we looked at it a little bit, and a beautiful building, very nice building right downtown Sitka. But it made a wonderful sanctuary for Pastor Miller. But what a shame, closed. I'm so thankful Jesus said, I will build my church and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. Hallelujah. I'm thankful that we can put our trust in Him and He is building His church. Moreover, I'm thinking if there are 300,000 churches that are declining and some of them closing because you gave to Christmas for Christ, there's going to be some apostolic preachers going into those towns and buying those empty buildings, praise God, and preaching apostolic truth. And the outpouring of the Holy Ghost is going to be happening. Hallelujah. And there's going to be more like Shelley who are delivered, more like Shelley who are filled with the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. Thank God for the power of the Lord that God declared, I will build my church because there's a foundation that's not going to fail, because there's a foundation that is going to last. And the Bible tells me you are complete in Him who is the head of all principality and power. Complete. Praise God. Not lacking, not falling short, but complete, because He declares Himself to be the author and the finisher of our faith. Hallelujah. He's the head over all. He's the ruler. He's the authority. He's everything. And He builds His church on a foundation that's not going to fail, a name above every name. Hallelujah. The power of His Spirit, praise God, to bring new life. His blood to cleanse our mistakes and our wrongdoing from our past. Thank God. His grace to lift us up and bring us into victory day after day after day. Yes, that's complete. Hallelujah. I'm thankful there's no lacking. I'm thankful there's nothing that would hold us back. And Paul goes on from the foundation to mentioning the temple. He says, know ye not that you are the temple of God and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you? It continues to dwell. It goes on in living. It goes on in abiding. It's not to end here and there, and then all of a sudden we get a renewal. Thank God for renewal, but let it keep on going. Let it keep on flowing. Let it keep on being a blessing in your life. Praise God, and the power and the strength that we're able to receive with Him. And so Paul declared, we're laborers together with God. We build on that foundation. We obey His word. We're empowered by His Spirit. Praise God. And we let others know there's victory for you. There's victory and power and blessing that God is able to provide for you. And like Paul told the church at Ephesus in Acts 20 and 32, he said, I commend to you the word of his grace. It's able to build you up. It's able to give you an inheritance. It's able to, for you to be sanctified. Praise God. Oh, I'm thankful that the Lord has the answers. Amen. So we labor together, not bumping into each other, not wondering what we're doing, not wondering how it's going to turn out. Oh, no. Thank God. There's prayer. There's support. There's encouragement. There's teaching because we have a sure foundation. Amen. Thank the Lord. A sure foundation for this life, a sure foundation in the life to come, everlasting. Hallelujah. Oh, I'm thankful that we can know that power and that blessing from the Lord because Jesus is great enough for everyone. Amen. Everyone. Now, 2 Timothy 2 and 19 again assures us the foundation is sure, not faulty, not failing, not falling. It's sure. The foundation of God standeth sure. The Lord knows them that are his. Oh, thank God. He knows you today. He knows your situations. He knows your needs. He knows everything that you're facing. And let everyone that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. Don't keep living in that same mess. Don't keep going back to that garbage. Don't keep trying to find joy and excitement in the lifestyle that you know is not going to be fulfilling. Don't try to keep getting it done on your own. No, depart from that iniquity. Depart from that disobedience. Depart from that self-will. Move into the realm that God has for you. Amen. And know the blessings that are there. David would understand about deliverance. He desired to build that temple. It was not his opportunity. It was not his privilege. But he understood his son Solomon was going to be the builder. And so he did everything he could to make sure it's all provided. It's all in place. All the supplies are going to be there. Praise God. But David would know about deliverance. David would know about what it felt like to be lifted out of a horrible pit. Praise God. He would rejoice in the fact that he was delivered from the miry clay. That horrible pit did not have to be where he stayed. I don't know if he's referring to the darkness that came to him as a result of the child dying, of his adulterous relationship with Bathsheba. I don't know what he's referring to exactly in this situation because David had been in situations that he could qualify as a pit and as miry clay. But now he would declare, he brought me up out of a horrible pit. He brought me out of the miry clay. He set my feet upon a rock and he established my goings. Praise God. And oh, thank God for the stability that's there in our walk with the Lord, our strength in the Lord. I know there are a lot of things that are shaky today. I know there are a lot of questions in people's minds. I know there are a lot of situations that are being proposed and ideas that are being set forth and what about this and what about that. I don't know about a lot of those things, but I know what my Word of God declares. I know that my Jesus is the foundation. I know that the promises are not going to fail. I know that his presence is not going to forsake me. Hallelujah. And that's what I'm going to keep on going. Not back to that horrible pit. Not back to that miry clay. Oh, no. Not foolish like that. But moving on in the realm that God has for me. Moving on in the strength that the Lord would provide. Moving on in the blessings that he's given. Man would make such efforts like the Space Needle and the Gateway Arch to establish a foundation of something that is ultimately going to fail. It's ultimately going to melt with a fervent heat. It's ultimately going to pass away. But thank God, your faith is not going to pass away. Your walk with God is not going to be eliminated. Your stand on the Lord and His word and His promises is not going to fail, but on into eternity. Praise God. Stand with me today, please. So many situations that are in the world today. I was in a store yesterday, and the clerk asked me, "What do you think about what's happening in our world? What do you think about what's taking place here?" And oh, I'm so thankful that I didn't have to worry. I'm thankful I didn't have to throw up my hands in despair and say, "I don't know. I don't know what the answer is." Thank God I know what the answer is. I know what the Lord is going to do. I know how He's going to fulfill His word. Amen. And thank God it's going to come to pass just as He declared. "Let not your heart be troubled," He said. He started John 14 in that way. He ended John 14 in that way. "Let not your heart be troubled." Thank God that we can put our trust in the Lord. What does that mean? Happy-go-lucky? Just being an idiot and living any old way? No, not at all. Obeying the Word of God. Following what God's Word declares. Living according to His purpose. Amen. And seeing the fulfillment of the promises that He has for us, because there's a sure foundation. Amen. Amen. A simple message, I know, but I feel so strong we've got to make sure that's where we're standing. Make sure that's where you're anchored. Make sure that's what you're holding on to, because everything else is going to fail. And only the foundation is going to bring you through into eternal salvation. Praise God. Praise God. Close your eyes now, if you would, please. As we stand in the presence of the Lord, I want you to look at your heart. I want you to examine your life, not thinking about someone else, not thinking about any other need, but you and the Lord, just you and God right now. How strong are you on that foundation? How secure are you in that faith? How dependent are you upon the one who will make you complete? I hope it's total. I hope there's no holes, no reservations, no holding back, but totally, completely surrendered to Him and walking in His will. Praise God. Praise God. Would you come and pray for a few minutes here now? I want us to just spend some time in the presence of the Lord. I want us just to call upon the Lord. Make your calling and election sure. Sure. Thank God it can be sure. A selection, a choice that the Lord made over you. Make it sure right now. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, in the name of the Lord, in the name of the Lord.
My hope is big.